So the formal investigation by the Department of Public Utilities is actually just beginning. And what happens next is that we will send out a series of formal questions, written questions for the company, which the company will then have to reply to us in a given time frame on.
Now, is this routine? I don't mean that the gas explosion was routine, but I mean, would something like this normally fall under your jurisdiction?
Yes, exactly, it would. I mean, and yes, obviously you're right, this is, thank heavens, not routine, but in an event such as this, this is the procedure that would be followed.
The state fire marshals blame this on human error, saying a gas company worker relying on markings on the sidewalk that were incorrect punctured a high-pressure gas line. Do you know who put those markings on the sidewalk and why the location of the pipe was not correctly shown?
Well, the markings would have been put there by the gas company, but we don't know yet, and certainly we will intend to find out in the investigation. We'll find out why the markings were put there and when.
So this is a key part of the investigation?
That is certainly part of our investigation, yes.
The employees of the club that was destroyed have been reported as saying there had been a strong odor of gas there for some time. And the gas company went to the club Friday night to investigate, and that's when the worker punctured the high-pressure line. So was the source of the original gas leak ever found?
To my knowledge, at this point, no. That will also be part of the investigation. I don't know, given that the building was destroyed, that that will be determined. But you're right. The gas company was called on Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, because of an odor inside the building. But it doesn't appear that that is what actually caused the explosion.
From a regulatory standpoint, what lessons might be learned from this to prevent future catastrophes?
Well, I mean, I think we'll be better able to talk about lessons to be learned once the investigation is complete. But, of course, the marking and careful excavation, marking of infrastructure and careful excavation is a key lesson to be learned. So if you're going to plant a tree in your yard, you should call DigSafe, and then the utility will come and mark the location of existing infrastructure. And, of course, there's a risk, as in this case, that marking at some point has been done incorrectly, although this marking clearly was not done with in response to a recent DigSafe call. But in any event, most gas pipeline ruptures are related to excavation events. That is, to somebody actually damaging the infrastructure. So it's really important to call DigSafe, make sure that a site is marked before there's any excavation going on.
So from what you just said, can you assure people that the natural gas distribution system is safe, that the pipes beneath the streets are not corroding to the point where we're experiencing dangerous leaks?
Well, that's right. I mean, this is really, I know you're undoubtedly aware of an article that was in the Boston Globe last week about leaks in the city of Boston.
I read that. It was over 3,000, they claim.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that number is exactly correct or not, but the fact is that there are many miles in New England of what we call leak-prone pipe. That's iron or unprotected steel, cast iron or unprotected steel pipes, and those are being replaced over time with plastic pipes, which are not leak-prone. But the very tiny leaks that that come out of those older leak-prone pipes are not dangerous to public. They're not a public safety issue. When there are so-called grade one leaks coming from pipes, those get attended to absolutely immediately. The grade three leaks may be there for some period of time. They're not a public. They're not migrating. They're tiny, and they're not a public safety issue.